Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren. Alongside me is my co-host, Jane Fancy Feet Fawcett.
Oh, bringing back the fancy feet.
Yeah, what's going on?
Hey.
How did the old movie thing turn out at North?
You know what? We had about a couple hundred people show up.
Wow, awesome.
I was really surprised.
I saw some photos, like people sprawled out their sleeping bags on the floor. Yeah, and
it was great.
And you guys watched Monsters University, right? And how'd that go? You guys do the popcorn machine and all? Or?
Yes, we did the popcorn
machine. So just smelled like popcorn in there.
Smelled like popcorn in there.
Good times. That was cool. I'm glad you guys did that. And I know Clovis did it too, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and how'd theirs go? Do you know?
Great. Yeah. Good turnout. It is definitely something we'll do again.
I got some movies. If you guys, you know, got some movies ideas.
Well, you should share those.
It was funny. Lacey was like, I don't really like Monsters University. And I was like, I loved Monsters University.
Honestly, I've tried to watch it now 4 times.
Yeah.
And I have never finished it.
Jane,
because no, this is the thing. Movie night, I was thinking I was going to watch it. That didn't happen. I put it on while I was getting things ready for movie night, and that didn't happen.
Yeah.
We watched it at the serial killer party. I had to step out.
Let's clarify that for a second. We had a. This was not a party where all the serial killers in town came together. This was a. We had lunch as a staff.
Yes, on Halloween.
On Halloween, and everybody bought cereal.
Yes, so we call it a serial killer party.
I just want to clarify.
And I also tried to watch it while I was in Riverside visiting Sarah, and I went to bed.
Wow. How is Sarah these days? You went and saw her? She looks great. I bet she feels great. Yeah. She's got a new job.
You know
but
what?
She misses the Spoutcast, doesn't she?
Oh, of course she does. Yeah. But Sarah is right where she should be.
Well,
it is a sad thing to say.
So
and I cried about
for all
it
those
morning.
Listeners out there that want her back.
Yeah, I think it's going to take, it'll take a lot to get her back.
Jane saw my friend Taylor out there. And Taylor has been on the show before. And I've made the same move you have, Jane, so I don't feel bad. But you saw him. He's been on the show. You know who he is.
I've met him before.
And you just walked right past him.
Well, this is the thing. Let me explain myself. Taylor, if you're listening.
He listens.
I'm really sorry, bud. This is what happened. I see Taylor, and I know he works at CBU because Sarah's talked about it before. Mm-hmm. And it was a thing where you see somebody outside of the environment that you met them in, and you think, is this person going to recognize me when I go up and I'm like, hey, Taylor, how's it going? And he's like, I know who you are, but like, I don't know who you are. And then I would feel awkward about it. So I literally, at one point at the Fortuna Bowl, I saw him at CBU. I saw him walk across the field and I was like, oh, hey, there's Taylor. And then when I'm leaving, I'm walking, I see him. And in that minute, I'm like, do I say something? Do I not say something?
It's an internal battle.
So I didn't say anything and I just walked right past him.
Well, that has happened to me before. So it's don't feel bad, Jane.
I felt bad.
But
then I text you right after and I said, hey, I saw your friend Taylor.
It was a mini Spoutcast reunion, except I was not there. But it was Jane and Layla and Sarah all got together. So I'm glad you guys had a good time.
We had a great time.
We've got a great Spoutcast for you guys today.
We really do. We have a great guest.
We have a great guest. Her name is Daily Kinsey.
Uh-huh. She's been on the show before.
She has, yes.
But she is back.
She's here to talk about working in WSM, talking about her blog, and also talk on an event that the junior high group has coming up called Mock Rock that everyone can come to here at the North Campus. We will also discuss Shay's sermon this past weekend on Ephesians and Colossians.
Yep.
And then we will close out the show at the end. This week's music is music that I believe we maybe have had on early on.
Yeah, we've had her on the show before.
But as I was just listening to music, I came across this beautiful angelic voice.
If you want a really great... Oh, wait. Who is it first? Sorry.
Jane, as you can't see it, but Jane gave me the mom stop hand. And so I immediately stopped talking. But it is it is Imogen Heap, who for all my OC fans out there...
Frau.
You know who Imogen Heap is. But what were you going to say, Jane?
I was going to say, because Layla and I drove to and from Riverside this weekend.
To and fro.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And on Friday, we left Fresno at 10 p.m. and we got to Riverside at 3 a.m. So we were very tired. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you're driving, you need a good station to listen to.
Absolutely.
NSYNC Pandora.
NSYNC Pandora, huh? It's pretty solid.
Dude, it is the jam.
All right. I'll have to get going on that. Chris Kirkpatrick got married this past weekend.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Straight up. So, well, we've got a good show. So enjoy some Imogen Heap and we will be back with some sermon discussion.
The first half of each book focuses on the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ. The second half says that since he is supreme and since he is sufficient, then that idea, that exaltation of that then transforms you so that you can live in each of these different areas of your life, in the home, in church, out in the mission field, wherever it may be, and you can live with Christ as that supremacy and sufficiency in those areas and be transformed there. Now, the problem is, and some of you persisters in here are like, dude, you just flew through the second half of those books, right? Because here's what happens. In our culture, all of us go, man, I love the last half of Ephesians. I love the last half of Colossians. Give me practical, right? Teach me how to fix my marriage, fix my kids, fix my boss, right? Especially him, right? We all want that. In fact, I went online. I did a survey this past week. There have been more books written in the last 10 years on the last half of Ephesians than there have been on the first half. There has been more sermons preached in the last 10 years on the last half of Colossians than on the first half. Our pragmatic Western culture is obsessed with pragmatics. Teach me how to fix those things. And Paul says, no, you will never find health in chapters 3-6 of Ephesians without getting 4-6 without getting 1-3. You will never find health in 3 and 4 of Colossians without getting 1-2. Christ must become for us as the church supreme and sufficient. He must be our greatest treasure, the center of our world by which every other thing revolves around.
That is a clip from Shay's sermon this past Sunday. And obviously Shay is very passionate when he teaches.
He gets fired up.
And I wanted to pick a clip where he did get passionate because I feel as though, yeah, like you said, he gets fired up and he's passionate about it because he cares and mm-hmm. he thinks it's an issue that is worth being passionate about and not just, it's just another sermon, but it's like, no, every sermon has passion to it.
Totally.
And so kind of a quick recap, what he did was he covered the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians. And what's great about those two is that they are what are considered like kind of under the prison epistles. And so it's Paul writing while he is in prison to these two churches. And as Shay kind of mentioned in that clip, he really focuses on those first two chapters of Colossians and first three of Ephesians is really focusing on the supremacy and just the satisfaction, the sufficiency, Christ being enough for us. Mm-hmm. And he really takes two chapters and three chapters out of those two books and sums that up and then gives practical mm-hmm. at the end mm-hmm. of those books. And what Shay really wanted to communicate is Paul's heartbeat behind writing what he wrote is to make sure we understand the sufficiency of Christ and the mm-hmm. supremacy, that he is above all else, that he in your own life should be above. Oh, excuse me. Hello, burp. Should be above all, and we should treat him like that. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we sometimes put marriage above Christ, or we sometimes put, well, how do I fix my working relationship above Christ? And Paul's saying, no, those are good. I want those things to get worked on, but let's focus on Christ being number one and mm-hmm. Christ being satisfactory mm-hmm. enough in your life. So sure. That's kind of an overview of those two books, but Mm-hmm. Jane, I see you have a lot of notes written down. you're slowly starting to become a note taker, I've noticed.
Well, it kind of depends on what it is.
Okay.
I feel like, I don't know. I took notes today.
Well, I've noticed you've even taken notes on your phone recently, and I'm like, yeah. Wow, Jane.
I feel like the Spoutcast has helped me listen to a sermon differently.
I totally agree.
To where I can take out something practical that I'd like to communicate to people, and it just helps me listen to things differently.
That's interesting you say that, because, and I don't know what a listener would feel like, but I feel like more so than ever with the Spoutcast, sitting in on a sermon is really difficult for me to do. Whereas at my desk listening and like jotting some things down and really, okay, where do I want to take the discussion to go? Totally. It's totally different. Mm-hmm. What were some things written down?
So was this clip from midweek or the 7?
This was a midweek clip. Yeah.
Okay. I listened to a 7 o'clock sermon. Today at my desk.
Most every single person would have heard, I mean,
midweek's unless version. You went to the 7
or Fig, because he was live at Fig.
Yeah, I think he got a little more dicier even at the 7.
Ooh,
I love the 7. I don't know, I just loved the sermon.
Sure.
I think it gives everybody a taste of what Shay's like in residency on Wednesday mornings, mm-hmm. and just that passion that he has for the gospel and for us not adding anything to the gospel, but only looking at that our faith is through Christ alone. I liked, how he pointed out that part of how we should all have, when we're giving our testimony or telling our story, that we should all have a "but God" moment of that part in Ephesians where it says, "but God," in his mercy, whatever, saved us.
The concept with the testimony is, though, that everybody in their testimony should have a moment when they're sharing their story where we
totally.
Go, but God did this in my life.
Yeah, I was living crazy. I was blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But then God saved me. God got a hold of my heart and showed me my sin and I realized I needed to change. And just having that moment of, because it is God who saves us and God who calls us to follow, it is only because of what God does in us that allows us to be able to believe in the first place. And I know Adam DePartiz read this book, and I don't know the author. His name is the weirdest. Mm-hmm. But how Shay mentioned that.
R.L. Stine?
No. Goosebumps. that Christ plus nothing equals everything.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The reverse of that is that if Christ plus anything equals nothing, and just how we add onto our faith so much and like we forget that it's only Christ that can save us from an eternity apart from him.
Sure. I think the part that I really took away from it was, and you know, if you were to kind of sum up the sermon, it was like, because of Christ's supremacy and because of his sufficiency, our lives should look different. Our walk with Christ should look different. And what I really took out of it was this concept of, is Christ sufficient enough? Mm-hmm. I recognize, I think in my own life, that Christ is supreme and he really is ruler of all. Whether I submit to that sometimes, that's something I struggle with.
Yeah.
But what I think I've never really questioned myself, because I know in the back of my head, Christ is supreme.
Mm-hmm.
I may not submit to that all the time.
For sure.
I think the thing that's hard is Christ enough for me?
Yeah.
And because I think in my walk or my faith, I'm constantly wanting more. I'm constantly wanting more than just, oh, Christ, I want, you know, how do I fix my marriage advice?
Right.
Or even beyond that, it's like, I talk a lot about like, or we've talked a lot about idols on here, but in my own walk with friends and whatnot, I've talked a lot about idols and really realizing that idolatry in my own life is just a lack of Christ being enough for me because I'm trying to fill that void, whether it's with my phone or my computer or fantasy sports or even for myself, like an idol would be like success. And I'm realizing that I need success because I'm not satisfied enough in Christ. And so if I get success, well, then it's Christ plus success in my life. And so what I really took out of it was, is Christ enough for me? And if he is, then my life should look differently and people should see, that Christ is enough for me and it's enough for everybody yeah. else as well.
It's taking, like Shay mentioned, taking a good thing and making it an ultimate thing.
Totally.
I think mine is similar in realizing that I worship myself all the time and I worship what I want and when I want it and how I want it. And I think one thing the Lord's been challenging me recently and something that Shay hit on a little bit is living freed mm-hmm. and living free from bondage of sin. And do I still sin? Yes, I do, but I'm not a slave to it and it doesn't control me, but I live like sin controls me. And it's just, did you want to say something?
No, keep going.
He had said that he wants to make Jesus the greatest pursuit of his life. And that's something that, like, I want to, but there's just that, I don't know, I still live like I'm a slave to sin in so many ways. And it's just a good reminder that I'm not, and that I need to live differently. Not live crazy and live fully under, oh, I'm saved by grace and God saved me. But to be thankful, seeing what Christ has done for me and live in the power that he gives me by saving me from what I deserve.
Sure. And, you know, and even along those lines, like it was another part of his sermon was just making sure, you know, people have everything's kind of ultimate. And he used the example, and I don't know if he did at 7, but it's like, you know, the Batman versus Superman debate.
Totally.
Who's better? And just realizing, like, in Christianity, we have those debates, like, throughout Christianity, is this right or is this wrong? Am I closed-handed on free will and whatever other arguments there are out there? And just realizing, like, if it's not Christ and we're not okay with Christ and we're not, and Christ isn't sufficient and he's not superior above all things, then really, like, end of conversation. We've got to get that first. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think going back to Ephesians and Colossians, I feel like Paul in prison writing these letters, he's going, you guys have to understand this first before we move on. Mm-hmm. And I think the goal, and we were talking in our teaching team this past, actually it was today. And one of the things that came across in this generation series, that there are times where it can feel like, First and Second Corinthians, let's say someone could listen to First and Second Corinthians sermon and go, well, that was a sermon. Well, so if I'm not attending church and I go, well, what was the sermon about? They would go, oh, it was a recap of First and Second Corinthians. Mm-hmm. Whereas I feel like with the Roman sermon from 2 weeks ago, it was, man, we talked a lot about faith and faith in God and we walked through Romans.
Sure.
And then this past week it was, we talked about the supremacy and the sufficiency of Christ. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, we went through Ephesians and Colossians.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's really the hope in this generation series, is that we're pulling big themes out of small books in a sense. And I think that theme, especially in this New Testament, as we walk through the next two prison epistles, will continue to play itself out of going, this is really what these are about. And oh yeah, we walked through Philemon and Philippians.
Sure.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
So my hope is that people would have walked away from this sermon going, really questioning, is Christ supreme?
Yep.
Is he sufficient enough for me? Or am I too busy worried about how do I fix this? How do I do that? What devotional books do I need to read?
Yeah.
How much tithe money am I giving? It's all that. It's like, no, is Christ enough?
Right.
I wish we would have sang that song, More Than Enough. You remember that old school song?
I love you.
It's more than enough.
Oh, gosh.
Like that song. Uh-huh. I'm making fun of it, but I did wish that song was at the end.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard Shay's sermon, it's really good. It is posted on our website now, so check it out. And this next week, we'll finish up the prison epistles with Philippians and Philemon, and then move on from there. So I think Hebrews is after that.
Yeah, and even, is it starting in January, we're going to go through Ephesians.
We're going to go through the whole book of Ephesians, yeah. Kind of like old school, well, where we've, like, 1 Corinthians or whatever. I think it's like 16 weeks or 12 weeks, we're going through Ephesians.
That's
so
awesome.
Looking forward to that. Stay tuned for an interview with Daily Kinsey, and we will enjoy some Imogen Heap.
Say goodnight, anger. Thank you. every time. Why'd you have to be so cute? It's impossible to ignore you.
We are back. The three of us are back. And
all three here. Yep.
We have got a very special friend of mine and Jane's. Mm-hmm. Someone who's been on the show, I know, once before.
Once before.
Daily Kinsey. Welcome back.
Hi.
Daily, are you nervous?
Yes.
Okay.
Are your palms really sweaty?
Yeah, they are.
Why do you get nervous?
I don't know. What if I like... There's a lull in the conversation.
That's
why we
have
the
Christian.
Squishy guy from Monsters University. Oh. That's how I feel.
Okay. So now, for those of you guys who maybe are new to listening to us, maybe Daily, explain a little bit. What is your current role at the Well?
I am your admin.
You are WSM's admin.
I am WSM's admin too, and Jeremiah's and Rose's.
That is the truth. So I am the WSM admin. I take care of parents' questions, students' questions, organizing things for the week, helping run errands, and like right now we're prepping for barn dance, so mm-hmm. I just finished getting all the stuff for that.
She emails me every single week.
I do.
That's right. Now, Daily, you are... you like working in student ministries, correct?
I do.
But you're passionate about something else. What are you passionate about?
Diabetes.
Okay, and why? And explain to the wonderful podcast world, what's your love for diabetes? And I know you have a blog, maybe mention that as well.
Okay, I have type 1 diabetes, and I was diagnosed at 18, and I'm semi-obsessed with it now. I have a little diabetes group with The Well now. It's a bunch of us, and it's a lot of fun. And I have my own blog, which is I Run on Batteries, and... it's been blowing up in the last year, and I'm really enjoying it. And I just really am passionate about the disease. It affects my life, and I love it.
Do you follow her, Jane?
Her blog? Yeah. I don't follow any blogs.
Oh, wow.
I look at blogs, but I don't get notifications when new posts come up.
Do you have on your blog it'll email you when a new blog pops up?
I don't know how it does that, but I know that sometimes when you sign up, it does that.
Okay.
So I think when you became a member, you actually...
I feel like I may have been the first member.
Wow. You were the first member.
That's right.
Daily has a great blog.
It's great.
It's really diverse too. And it's interesting because you give like tidbits about diabetes. And then I like when you're like, oh, this celebrity is a type 1 diabetic or... yeah. Things like that. I just think it makes it more interesting.
Now what... Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a bad way to maybe phrase this, but if I had some disease or what is diabetes? Is it a disease?
It's an autoimmune disorder. So basically, my body is attacking itself. So somewhere along the line, my antibodies decided that my pancreas doesn't belong there, and so it attacks all my insulin-producing cells.
So if I had a disease,
yes.
Okay, I don't know if I'd write a blog about my disease. So why the blog? Why what's the heartbeat behind it?
It just honestly was a good way for me to process it, and I feel like there's a lot of talk now about type 2 diabetes in particular because that is the bigger one that most people know about. But mm-hmm. type 1, there's not as much. So I feel like it's nice to have a voice out there to just kind of process through things. I've gotten a lot of really good feedback from other bloggers and things. I'm going to be in a Health Monitor magazine from someone who found some tidbits and really liked it. So
she even had the, when you were testing out that,
the battery Dexcom, pack.
Yeah, they contacted her and were like, hey, we came across your blog. We really enjoy
it. And they wanted to talk to me and all of that. I actually was terrible about following through. So, but I'm hoping that I'm going to actually get a Dexcom soon. I really like it.
Now, Jane also is your official cat sitter. Is that kind of?
Yes, she is.
Okay. Jane, what's it like babysitting or cat sitting Daily's cats?
Slightly
it's
terrifying.
It's a little bit scary. It's great. I love it because they have cable and I get to go and spend a few hours over there watching TV and petting the cats and hoping that Molly doesn't attack me.
Yes, Molly is vicious. Okay. I have a bulimic and a lion. So it's quite the challenge. I'm not going to lie.
He will literally be like purring and laying by the table. And the next minute he like stands up and looks at me and his eyes get really big. And I'm like, oh crap, he's going to attack me right now.
Oh yeah. He's done that. When Tyler and I first started dating, he beat up my husband pretty bad and Tyler was bleeding. And that was awesome.
That's awesome.
I have marks right now, even from Molly.
I have a cat that we call it biscuiting. So like, kneading or whatever.
Yeah.
And me and Lacey call it biscuiting, and it will literally knead Lacey's shoulder in the middle of the night, and she will wake up with a bloody shoulder. And like, if you look, if she ever, I don't know when there would ever be a time where she'd show her shoulder, but,
We'll just ask her.
You would see like scabs like on her shoulder. It's crazy.
Yeah, totally.
And so cats are vicious. But Daily, I feel like you do love cats. I feel like the three of us love cats.
Yeah, we for sure do. But I love all animals. It's not just cat
obsession.
But now it's a running joke between Jane and I. I have cat shoes. Mm-hmm. We send each other cat pictures and funny things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Daily also has an obsession for Disneyland, which I just went to.
Yes, I'm a crazy cat lady with diabetes and love Disneyland.
Daily's the type of person, and I mean this in the nicest way.
Oh, no.
But Daily says if she, there's no, like on a scale of 1 to 10, there's no 6 for Daily.
No,
she either
hates
loves
it.
Something and she'll say, like, it's the greatest, I love
I'm
it so
obsessed.
Much. Or, that sucks, I hate it.
Right.
And there's no middle ground.
Right.
So
I completely agree with you.
It's kind of the
truth. And that works the same with people.
Yeah.
Daily either really likes you or she really hates you.
Which I appreciate.
Sound horrible, because you don't.
I don't think it's I hate you. It's just,
you're decisive. You know what you like.
Yeah, you don't have a person that you're like, I'm mediocre on that person. You're either, I like you or I don't.
Yeah.
All right,
I like you, or I probably just won't hang out with you. Let's say that. Because I feel like if you say I don't like you,
I'll avoid you.
Yeah,
that's true.
But you're not a harmonizer, so saying I don't like you doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't.
To her, it just means like, well, I'm just not going to associate myself with you.
Yeah, right.
You're not worth my time.
What's your favorite ride at Disneyland? Have you ever...
What's my favorite ride?
Have you ever kind of come up with this? Can I guess?
Yeah.
Give me three guesses.
Okay.
Do you actually know this one?
I think I do.
Is it Pirates of the Caribbean?
No.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride?
No. One more. You better get it right.
This is just at Disneyland.
Right.
Okay.
Wait,
not
if
a
he
California
doesn't get it
adventure.
Right, I get second.
Right. But then he has to give you a dollar or something.
No, I don't
have to
give you a dollar.
Go.
I'm going to guess just... Space Mountain.
Good job.
Oh my gosh, I
that
hate
is
you.
The one
yeah.
that I like. Tyler
like Space Mountain.
Laughs at me the whole time I'm on it because I'm so excited.
My favorite is Winnie the Pooh ride.
No,
really?
I really like the Winnie. I think it's so psychedelic that like
it's
this
true.
Is
it
so
really
the
is.
Opposite of what Winnie the Pooh ever is. And it's the weirdest ride.
Have you done
awesome.
It?
No.
It's pretty like
is
creepy,
in, like,
especially
Toontown
when you get to the Heffalumps and Woozles.
Yeah, it's a creepy ride. And it doesn't fit the feel or the vibe of the feel-good movie. It's like all these
it's
neon
dark
colors.
And neon.
And psychedelic.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a Bob Marley poster. It really does.
That's a great description, actually.
I just went to Disneyland yesterday, and I would have to say my favorite ride is California Screamin'.
But that's not at Disneyland.
That's in California.
But it's still okay.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
Where'd the California letters go?
Okay, so the whole idea of California kind of went out the window. It wasn't popular. It wasn't doing well. The park wasn't actually bringing in money like they were hoping.
Oh.
So they just did a whole revamp over the last 3 years. And the whole idea of it now is to be when Walt got off the train from, I think he's from the Midwest somewhere. But when he got off the train in Los Angeles and walked out. So that's why you have the red cars. It looks like a train station or subway station when you go through the gates now.
That makes sense.
So they've ousted that whole theme.
So it's not called California Adventure anymore?
No, I mean, it is. I mean, if you talk to people who work there, which Tyler and I know people who work there, they call it DCA.
DCA. What does that mean?
Disney California Adventure.
Oh,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. There's a couple of things I'd like to chat with you about, Daily, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I've realized something about myself is that I kind of like to learn about myself on the air. Because I do feel as though people are always interested. And I'd say the same with Jane as well. And maybe we need to ask Cam the next time she's on the show.
Okay.
But I
but Cam's my boss.
Yeah, but it'd be fun for her to share all the things that
I feel like
maybe
Cam
it would be fun for you.
Go ahead. What are we asking about you?
What I'd like to know, Dalena, it's good to learn about myself. And this is a public venue. Right.
So
all
we
right?
need to be.
So imagine proper. If it was just you and me in my office and Jane just happens to be listening in. All right. Great. And as do about 200 other people.
Okay.
But what are two things, and I'm your quote unquote boss, right?
Right.
So what are some things that are, let's start with two things that are difficult about me as a boss, and then finish it off with one nice thing for the harmonizers out there.
Finish it off with one nice thing.
And be honest.
No,
okay?
I will. I will. I just don't want you to get your feelings hurt. I know that you have no harmonizer either, so it's okay, but you're quite particular on certain things.
i.e. this morning.
Well, or even like I had a post-it note for like a note for myself on my desk and you made me rewrite it because it didn't make sense to you.
Oh my God.
And that I don't know if I could honestly give like another one. I think you're just really particular, but it's okay.
But does that bother you?
No, I mean, I'm sure there's some days I lose my patience, but I mean, it's like that with anybody, but I think I'm the same way, so I can't get frustrated.
I'll tell a story about this morning so that the listeners understand your particularness. Daily asks me as a judge of Mock Rock coming this Friday.
Which we'll talk about in a second.
Really excited.
How it is best for the judges to have their score sheet because last year it got confusing because some went out of turn and so it was confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So she asks, is it better to put them in order or is it better just to put them alphabetically for the judge?
Mm-hmm.
And Christian chimes in from his office.
Now you remember the
just
story.
Just put an extra spot on the sheet.
No, he says, well, just fill them in.
Just leave it blank is what I meant to say.
Oh, okay.
That's what you heard.
Right. That's what you
said.
So
at that point.
Because that was the other debate. I personally, which is where I'm particular, I feel like it's kind of hard for judges to write names in because if they don't hear the name of the team.
Right. Well, maybe we could put a list of the names of the
teams.
We'll
have to come up with this.
Once I heard you say this, I'm like, whatever, my opinion doesn't matter anymore because Christian wants it a certain way.
But I think after you work with you it's just a piece of who you are and it's fine.
I really try not to be mean though.
I don't think you're mean. Like that's the one thing that I would never in a million years say you're mean. Like you probably are like the nicest boss because it's really funny when you have to have awkward conversations, you like don't know how to do it. And yet you have no harmonizer. So it's really funny because you're like, okay, I need to be nice, but I need to make sure they hear me. And I appreciate that.
What I'd like to do is just have Jeremiah have all my hard conversations for me.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's easier to have a hard conversation with someone who's not a harmonizer.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to sugarcoat. They're just going to get straight to the point, in and out, you're done.
Yeah.
Well, I apologize if my there's got to be one other thing besides the particularness.
I would probably just say particularness. Like that's probably the main thing. Other than that, I've worked for like horrible people, so I feel like it's a breeze.
Okay, now what is one nice thing to lift me up in my spirits?
One nice thing to lift you up in your spirits.
Uh-huh.
You do definitely believe in first rule fun, and I really do appreciate that. So I used to hate playing the games because I'm the biggest sore loser in America.
We play games almost every meeting unless we have not everybody's there or whatever, but really like to start our meetings with, I feel like WSM, a lot of the basis of WSM is fun.
Right.
And so we like to start off with about a 10-minute game, and Daily is hands down the most competitive person.
I hear her yell all the time.
Okay, I would constantly lose to Jeremiah. He wins everything, and it's not that he's like particular good. Yeah, now I lose to Ben. So now I have a new challenge.
Yeah.
But for a while, I was winning.
I'm not going to lie. When I hear you guys in there, I wish that I could just go in for your game time.
You would be.
Come on in, Jane.
You're more competitive than I am.
Maybe you should invite me next time.
Well, you know, some bosses, as Daily said, I like having fun. So,
maybe the invitation should be extended.
Come on in anytime, Jane.
You have to invite me.
I will invite you. My whole thing is, I hate meetings, like with a passion. And I
would say maybe it's not that you hate meetings. You hate worthless meetings.
I hate worthless and bad meetings. Yes. And I want, my thought process is from the outside perspective, I want a daily,
mm-hmm.
who you are involved in WSM proper. I feel like you have a say in everything WSM. But yeah. At the end of the day, I do feel like some of the stuff we talk about, like, it just kind of goes over your head. You're just taking notes in a sense.
Right.
And so I want you to go at 9 o'clock, not to think, oh, great, a WSM meeting. I want you to go, I can't wait to go to the WSM meeting. Does that make sense?
Right.
And do you have that feeling?
Well, no, I was going to say, I'm probably like the biggest weirdo because I'm like, I get away from my computer for a minute and I get to like participate and hear what's going on.
Well, that's good. That's good. So, now, Jane mentioned.
She has a good opinion too.
Daily has a great opinion. That's why she's in our meetings.
And 9 times out of 10, I have to say, did you guys think about this? And they usually listen.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that from anybody, we have a 6 people on the team, and I want them all to go, I want to go to this meeting.
Right.
Whereas every time someone schedules a meeting or I have a meeting, it's like, oh gosh.
You guys do have a lot of meetings though.
Yes, we do. We have two you're involved in.
Right. That I have to be
like
a part of.
I feel like you, Ben, and Jeremiah meet a lot.
We do meet a lot, yeah.
Just team. They really like each other.
We do really like each other. Now.
Best friend Ben.
Jane.
Yeah.
Just mentioned a thing called mock rock.
Sure did.
And let me just air out this one thing, all right? The name of the team will be on the screen, okay? So when you have a blank judge sheet, it will make sense to go, that's the name of the team. I'm going to write that in.
Perfect.
All right.
Okay.
I just got 2 horrible looks right now.
You did not get a horrible look.
Let's explain mock rock for the listeners out there.
Yes, let's do that.
And let's kind of, well, in daily, you love mock rock,
right? I do. I think it's
so
great.
So kind of from your perspective, explain what mock rock is and why we do it.
It is a giant lip syncing contest, and it started with junior high. We did high school last year, and it's just hysterical to watch these kids come up with routines and lip sync, and some of the things, they're just really creative, and it's a lot of fun. I think the purpose we do it is to help the kids connect to one another and also to their leaders. It's great bonding time, and and I think it really actually does accomplish that goal.
Yeah.
And so when is Mock Rock?
Mock Rock is this Friday at the North Campus from 7 to 8:30 p.m.
Yeah, and Daily and Jane, I believe, will both be judges.
Yeah, I will be there.
Now, this is not an event for just, I mean, junior higher obviously is going to go to this, but outside of the junior high group, this is an event for anybody and everybody. If you have a family, a lot of times they bring their kids, and the kids just love just watching Mock Rock, and it's a lot of fun. It's a great family event. We do play games with the audience. We have some funny videos, as well as we have about 8 to 9 mock rocks.
Right.
And this is an idea that I did not come up with. I just took it from my old church, which took it from college, and we've just continued the tradition. What do you love so much about it, though?
I just like... Last year, I just remember one routine in particular, and I laughed hysterically. I think it's just because you laugh the entire time. You're just like, I cannot believe that this is actually happening right
now. How about that one routine where the guy leader's pants kept falling
down? I felt so bad. Oh, and then Christian called him out on it in front of everybody. Oh, kay. My God.
Or how about how Christian's opening routine where they jump off the stage
and kick somebody
on a grandma?
No, I hit the grandma and scared her to death. But you listening who's never been to Mock Rock, I promise
it's not. It was safe.
There's always something funny or weird that happens.
Right.
But from my perspective, it's a great night. It's fun. We have a building that it works for. We have junior hires that want to do this kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
They never have an opportunity like this in their life.
Right.
The days of talent shows are over for them.
Sure.
And I can count multiple students that will never for the rest of their life get on stage and do something like this. But they got that one opportunity and did it.
Uh-huh.
And this is the first year that Coleman will not have like a routine, which I'm a little bummed about, because I do feel like he's always has the weirdest ones, and they never win, but you always kind of go,
you know, he made top 3 last
good
year,
try,
though,
Coleman.
And I thought that was pretty good.
My boss Dale, his daughter's going to be in one, and she, I mean, they are really talking some smack. So I think that they may have
a win. They're pretty competitive.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I think that, you know, Jane, what do you like about Mock Rock? What's your...
I love to laugh at them. They're right. just so funny.
It's and junior hires.
It's right. just, their entertainment level is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's true. It's that one opportunity that they have to make a fool out of themselves.
Yeah.
And they just embrace it. And I just sit there and I giggle the whole time.
Yeah, Lacey says there's never a moment in Mock Rock where she is like rolling on the floor laughing, but she has like a smile like a Cheshire cat.
Oh,
like
Cheshire
the
cat.
Whole time.
The whole time.
I'm rolling on the floor.
Yeah.
If I could get out of my seat, I'd roll on the floor.
Yeah.
How about last year, how Bo Williamson was
with the oh my gosh, with the inflatable suit. I literally grabbed my phone and tried to film it. I was that excited.
Hilarious.
I
thought
it was so good.
Bo this year will not be participating in Mock Rock. So yeah, he unfortunately will be out of town. So, and he had like vocal surgery, so me and Coleman have been leading that life group. So I am leading that group's Mock Rock, and I don't know if it'll be great, but it'll be decent. How does that sound?
I was going to say, I'm not trying to brown nose, but Buchanan's that you came up with last year was
that
really
was
good.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm looking forward to it.
We should have won that last year.
I was much more creative with that one. This is different.
Okay.
Like they're junior high boys. That was a co-ed group. I feel like I could get away with a little bit more.
Okay.
And I had group buy-in. This one, it's like they're doing the weirdest, dumbest songs. But
I feel like the boys last year, though, like I was really surprised with the junior high boys. They
I could see Jeremiah's team winning.
Cameron Shirtliff's
brother. Hunter? Yeah.
Funny kid.
Yeah. I could see Jeremiah's team winning this year. I really could. He's
right. Oh, I'm excited.
He's got a good group of kids that are going to sell it, and they're really into it. Okay. So we've got a couple other like Spoutcast alumni that are judges. Well, your husband's going to be there. Maybe.
Yeah,
oh,
maybe.
Now he's backing out. Well, Tyler,
Thursday
listen
night,
up.
Thursday right? night showdown got moved to Friday.
Oh, boy. So then Cam and her husband will be there.
Yes.
We also, she's an alumni. Andrew's never been on the show. That'd be good to get Andrew on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will have Layla and TJ who've been on the show before. Rick Cuellar asked if he could.
He did ask, yeah. Yes, but technically we are full.
Well, but if Tyler doesn't come.
I could ask him then and see if he
Coleman.
Wants to do it.
Coleman will be a judge.
Because Tyler is technically going to be if Coleman had to drop out.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. It's always a fun thing. It's this Friday,
uh-huh.
and it is at our North Campus from 7 to 8:30. You get to, we're going to have an audience winner this year. So there's going to be a winner that is... just simply like who the judges the winner. And then the audience, we've got this like app that basically judges the volume of the audience.
Oh.
And the team with that loudest volume, they will also win an audience
prize.
You're
not texting to vote, huh?
Mm-hmm.
They're good with their technology with these things.
I think we're trying to switch it up each year. I think the text to vote was great. I feel like it added an extra 15 minutes to the night.
Okay.
We're trying to get families in and out, you know what I mean? So... yeah, daily. I'm looking forward to it. Please don't judge me too harshly, even though I'm a very particular person. Leave that out of the Mock Rock judging. All right.
I will.
All right.
I will do it.
Deal.
Okay.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, and let's toss out your blog one more time.
Oh, it's irunonbatteries.blogspot.com.
.blogspot.com. And if you don't have diabetes, it's still an interesting blog.
It's kind of super interesting.
Yeah. I feel as though it's kind of a 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon. Everyone you know, you can at least get to one person that in your life that has diabetes. And then when you see them at a social gathering, you can relate and toss out the blog. I have tossed out your blog to more people who have diabetes. And that's my conversation starter.
I
have diabetes.
I can spot an insulin pump.
Oh, yeah.
Jane
did this
now.
Weekend.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Cam, too, on her vacation. Mm-hmm. First thing, she's like, I saw someone with diabetes. I wanted to like talk to them.
Yeah, you should.
So it's a good blog. Stay informed. All
yep.
right. And come to Mock Rock this Friday. Thank you, Daly.
Thank you for having me.
Oily marks appear on walls where pleasure moments hung before the takeover, the sweeping insensitivity of this still.
we are back, and Jane really got a kick out of the joke that I just told.
Tell it, Christian.
Now, Shay came up with this joke, and there's a famous pastor that will not be named because he's a controversial pastor, and I don't listen to him, but he was on Jimmy Fallon, and he has a joke before every single service, and this feel like this joke is right up there. It's a bad Christian corny joke.
I got one after yours.
Okay, are you ready?
Uh-huh.
So, does God like coffee, Jane?
I don't know. Does he?
Well, he does. Or wait. Well, shoot. Let's do it again. You say. Well, I don't know. Well,
okay. Does. I don't know. Does he?
Yeah, Hebrews.
Oh man.
Dave. One. Dave didn't laugh at all.
Oh, well, thumbs what's down your corny from Dave. Joke? What is the only state that is in the Bible?
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know, Jane. What state?
Arkansas, because Noah looked out of the ark and saw.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, boom, boom.
Dave laughed more at that joke.
You like
than
that one, Dave?
The Hebrews joke.
Oh, well, it's better than yours, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it was a little better than mine. Well, hey, thank you guys for listening. And if once again, just as a quick recap, Mock Rock is this Friday, November 8th.
Yes.
And it is from 7 to about 8:30. You can be a participant in the audience winner this year. So,
ooh.
And Jane, do you have
what's
anything?
What's the prize?
The prize for the audience, it's done by a life group. So the life group will get $50 that wins the audience prize. The winning group will get $100.
Awesome.
So, and Jane, what do you have any announcements? Anything you need to share? I know Discovery's coming up soon.
November 23rd.
I will be there.
Oh, good.
This you, is the one that you I'm, and best I rescheduled. Friend Ben. Yeah, we rescheduled.
Good. I don't think I have anything exciting to share.
It's all right.
You know what?
It's Ben's birthday on the 21st.
Oh,
so I'm just, you know, make sure you guys all say hi.
Celebrate for Ben.
That's right.
But it's only the 4th of November.
Yeah, we got a long month.
Yes. We should celebrate a birthday month for Ben.
We definitely should.
We're 4 days late. The one thing
that I want to make sure we announce is just Seasons of Compassion is not over yet.
You're right.
And so I was able to participate in the Halloweenies and Boogers with Shay. Uh-huh. And but as I was reminded, like, this needs to not end. Halloween is one of the seasons, but continuing to look on our blog as what you can do over Thanksgiving, how you can involve your community, your neighborhood in this Seasons of Compassion. So don't forget about that. It was a message obviously given a couple of weeks ago, but something that needs to continue through the season and beyond. So,
yes.
And this is The Spout.
And we're out.
Baby, I've been here before. I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. I used to live alone before I knew you. I've seen your flag on the marble arch, but love is not some victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah.